Welcome to Real Talk with Life After Grief, Chris, where we talk about relevant issues as it relates to individuals in grief as they navigate finances and the advisors who help them. We help clients in grief navigate financial matters. We also teach advisors how to emotionally and financially work with clients in grief through an unparalleled process. This week's podcast is sponsored by Life After Grief Financial Planning and Life After Grief Consulting.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Real Talk with Life After Grief, Chris. I thought that it would be interesting to talk about a specific type of trauma therapy, especially one that I have experienced in going with the theme of trauma for this season. The one that I'm going to talk about is called EMDR, which is short for Eye Movement Desensitization Reprocessing. Let me describe this in layman's terms. Imagine that you walk past a patch of grassy area and you have no emotional response. You just walk past and you don't think about it. You don't have any emotions, and it's just vanilla. So imagine that I walk past this same grassy area and my heart begins to race. I get extreme anxiety. I start to get very nervous. My mind starts racing, and I just want to get out of there. I don't want to have anything to do with it. The effects of trauma evoke uncontrolled emotional responses for me, unless there is a system in place in which to process those memories to a state that is less heightened. For instance, that piece of grassy area, if you walk past it, and on a scale from 1 to 10, one being the least emotional response and 10 being the highest, and you evoke a 1, I would evoke a 10. And that is the disparity. And therein, in regards to the trauma, especially ones that I have described, I've had to figure out through help how I desensitize some of those traumatic events. And the one that I'm going to describe here is the EMDR. And so, as I commonly like to do, I like to get some information from some professionals that use it, have high level of knowledge. And so what I've done is I've gone to the Cleveland Clinic online, and I'm going to get some information from there, and I'll leave it in the notes section as well. So eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy, commonly known as EMDR, is a mental health therapy method. EMDR treats mental health conditions that happen because of memories from traumatic events in your past. It's best known for its role in treating post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, but its use is expanding to include treatment of many other conditions. And I'm going to give a very specific example of a trauma that I had and that I've released prior. And I'm going to describe how the therapy has really helped me. And so the therapy, in this case, had helped me with the physical abuse that I received as a child. One specific event, because when you go to therapy, or at least when I went to therapy, I had to isolate an event. I couldn't just go and say I had this myriad of physical abuse. So I had to highlight it to one. And so the one event was where my mother was chasing me and attempted to slap me in the face. She had slapped me in the face prior, which I had mentioned. In this particular instance, I slammed the door on her arm. And so she proceeded to get through the door and say some things to me and basically tell me to, you better let me hit you. And I said no. She ran to my father, and my father basically said, if he's too big, that you can't hit him in the face anymore. That was the setting for this particular session. And so you think about that, and you sit there, and you have your eyes are closed, and you have these clickers in your hand. At least this was my experience. And then you have these sounds intermittently going from ear to ear. And it's beeps, and it's It senses that trigger your fingers, and it's a surreal feeling, and you feel like you're going back in time, and time stops, and you're processing all these other memories. And again, whenever I thought about that or some things that were related to my mother, I would have the emotions that I had spoken about before. And so how do I desensitize these? So it was through this therapy. And so as I'm going through this therapy, the therapist is checking in with me on a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being the least emotional response, and then 5 being the most. Mine was a 5. And so as we're checking in and we're going through and processing these things, some of the things that went through my mind that I had never thought about before, and I just blocked things out, and it was a way of protecting myself. And one of the things that I have had a hard time with since that, I obviously, as a child, you feel no control over the situation. And I felt no protection from my father, and I felt no protection from my mother in these particular situations. So how do I control something like this? And so, again, on a previous podcast, I mentioned that I witnessed my brother getting out of an abusive situation, specifically with my mother. And me witnessing that carried over to myself. So what did I do? When I, entered sixth grade, I figured out some ways and manners in which to avoid this abuse, at least on a daily basis. And so what I did in particular is I got home about 2:30, 3 o'clock or so. My mother was a teacher at a different school, and my mother got home approximately an hour after I did. I knew in that hour that I needed to finish all of my homework and I needed to leave the house. And again, the frame of reference for me is I was in a dysfunctional family, and I didn't see a positive relationship with my mom, and I didn't see my mom and my father. And certainly my mother was taking her aggression out on me. And I'm processing all this information now in my therapy session, which I never processed before. It may have been in the back of my mind. And so what that did for me is it said, Christopher, you have to manage your time effectively. Christopher, you have to find situations that are positive and productive for you. So that was really when I started playing basketball a lot. Anybody that knows me, that was my passion for 30 plus years to play, actively play and play at a high level. And in that process of playing basketball with older men, I found mentors that did very good things for me. And I didn't know that. And I didn't know where some of these values and things that I got, they were just there. And looking back, I was able to process this. And I said, I got some of these good values from some of these men who were very uplifting to me during that chaotic time period. During that time period, I also gravitated to 3 families in particular who I deemed had very strong family values. The earliest memory was a friend of mine. His name was Chris. And I used to go over to his house, I guess when I was not playing basketball, and it seemed like it was at least 2 or 3 times a week. I'd ride my bike, and it was probably 4 or 5 miles to his house after school, and I would play basketball. His dad played basketball with us, and then we would go in, and maybe sometimes I would go out back, and they gardened and things like that. And his mom and dad would always put dinner together. Every night they sat down as a family, and they argued just like any couple would. And I witnessed a very positive dynamic between a husband and wife. And that set the stage for me going forward. Then I take that a step further. One of my closest friends named Sean, whom I met also in sixth grade, probably later sixth grade, his family had a positive dynamic from what I saw. They also sat down to dinner together. And I pushed my parents to go over to their house and to drop me off. I remember every Sunday I would say, oh, we need a study session and I need to go over to their house. And it was just an excuse for me to go over there and eat dinner. And as that developed on into late middle school and on into high school, the joke was, is I was always at someone else's house eating dinner. But there was reason behind that. It was because I didn't have that positive situation at home, and it was my way of controlling the situation and being more comfortable and at ease. And as I developed into an adult, I got to see some of these things. And some of my earliest memories of a positive relationship from Kansas City were my grandparents, which I did see, but I didn't see that with my folks. And so now that I'm in this session with EMDR and I'm processing this and I'm realizing this, the time management, who has been involved in my life and who has been a positive influence, now it begins to desensitize this trauma that I have, specifically the abuse with my mom and the dysfunction with my family. Now I'm in a place to where I can control what's going on. And I do feel like there is control. And my senses are not so heightened. So the therapist checks in and she's, after you've gone through these memories, again, with the clicker and the sounds, Chris, what is, on a scale from 1 to 5, what are you rating this now? And I say probably a 3. And then we go into some more basically thought processes for me. Okay, continue on. And I go through some more thought processes. And so then I think about my brother and the dysfunction my brother and I had with each other. And again, that was a result of what my father did regarding the affair and how it affected my mother and then how it affected my brother. And I go into process more memories. And so it just opens up a world that I didn't know existed. Everything was in the back of my mind, but also clearing out this space in my mind. Again, I alluded that I had blocks in my memory. And now that I'm able to process this information, those are no longer blocks in my memory or holes in my memory. They're released. And now my memory starts to come back. And there, again, there were things that I couldn't remember. There are pieces, parts of time that I would write down very vividly, things that I would remember, and I would go back and read the things that I wrote. And I was like, man, I don't even remember writing this information. And so that's what the EMDR therapy really has done for me on a broad scale. And when I first entered it, I'll be honest, I wasn't really a believer. I was very ignorant. And I was like, I'll try it. It was recommended. And then as it started working and started processing and it started easing things that I was going through, one of the biggest things, I've always had anxiety. And I could never sense as to why I had this constant anxiety. But it was because of the traumas that I had, and it would come up, I would push them down, they would come up, I would push them down, and I had no way of dealing with these things until the therapy that I've gone through on and off over the years to really help myself. And I now understand that things like this, especially trauma, can have very physical effects on someone. And whether it's detrimental to your health, whether it's disease, whether it's cardiovascular stuff, whether it's getting illnesses or what have you. And what I have learned is if you hold these things in for so long, and again, it all seemed very normal to me until I sought some outside help, that it was on the verge of starting to affect my health. And not that I had anything readily wrong with me, but I could see the start of cracks and, you know, that were beginning to happen to me. There were periods where my mind would start racing, my heart would start racing for no apparent reason, or I would get into a situation I didn't know how to deal with it. And so what the therapy has done in conjunction with taking care of myself is it's desensitized those traumatic events. And it's given me a sense if something does happen and I don't have this traumatic fight or flight response, if something comes up, it's not that fight or flight response. I acknowledge it. And if it starts to bother me, then I have ways to deal with it. And I've really preached this self-care wheel over and over again. And it really helps on a regular basis. Actually, today I'm going to go volunteer, which is part of my ongoing self-care for myself. And again, I'm not a counselor or a psychologist or anything like that. I know that this therapy has helped for myself and it's reprocessed a lot of the traumas. And again, unbeknownst to me, I had no idea the level of trauma that I had been through from my having meningitis, my mother's cancer, everything that transpired after my mother's cancer. And then for me to wake up and understand that I had this abuse and everything connecting, it was released to me that my father had this affair his entire life, which was longer than my lifespan. And then to some years later, connect the dots as to why my mother was inflicting this emotional and physical trauma on my brother and I. And it was her way out of dealing with my father. And then my mother basically being done. She had told me, and again, this is through the EMDR therapy, I went back and had the clarity of mind to understand some very specific things that happened during that time period that were too fast, and I just blocked them out. But for me to understand her when she was Baker acted wasn't a situation to where her mind broke down. It was the constant turmoil and trauma that she was experiencing her entire marriage. And she just got to her breaking point. And I understand that. And she, during that period, again, I processed that memory because that was very traumatic as well. She told me she was done with my father. And this was her way out. And it took my therapy to go back and understand exactly what she told me and how she told me. And then things progressed from there. The point in me giving this information is, one, I like to share things and normalize things for other people. And I understand that this platform allows me to do that. But also, when I'm working with clients in particular and folks that know me professionally, know that I am a certified financial transitionist. And what that does is it gives me this higher level of training, this higher level of thought to really dig into the transition piece that so many people go through with money. And in my particular case, it's the grief aspect and digging in that. And so if I can't really process and do things for myself, I can't really be an advocate for other people, and I can't truly empathize with what they're going through. So that's why I release this information on EMDR. And again, I'm not making a recommendation onto someone necessarily taking it, but like I said, I've always recommended someone seeking a professional to help with anything that they're going through. I think it makes a big, huge difference. And it lessens the stress on your life. And things happen to everybody. I don't know that my traumas are any worse, bad, or better than anybody else's, but I have taken the road to repairing and being able to work with what I've got. And that's what I've got for this podcast. I hope you find value out of it. And if I can help anyone get through their trials and tribulations in life, then I think I've done my job. So without further ado, again, I hope you like this podcast, and please feel free to pass it on to your friends, family members, or colleagues. Cheers. Be well. See you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you are a client and are looking to work directly with Chris and or our firm, head on over to Life After Grief FP. That is Life After Grief FP. The FP is for financial planning. If you are an advisor looking to emotionally and financially work with your client in grief, or if you are a client looking to get your advisor's head in the game, head on over to lifeaftergriefconsulting.com. That is lifeaftergriefconsulting.com. Any related information referenced in this week's podcast will be located here in the podcast section.